You have your Bibles, turn with us to the Gospel of Mark chapter 2. Mark's Gospel chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verses 1. And I hope you'll pray, and we'll be praying for the meeting. I pray for your pastor, his family. I got a number of preachers on my prayer list. I come down my devotional Bible every day. I've got a list of lost people folks ask me to pray for. And then a preacher, people that are sick and cancer and some. But anyway, you know, one preacher said to me, he said, I'll be at them starting Easter Sunday. His last name's Young. And he said, Brother Ray, you got an alphabetical order. I said, time you get down to me, he said, you give out. I said, no, you got it opposite. Time I get to Young, start at the A's and get to Young, I might be in shape to pray. So anyway, one told me, said, well, it'd take you 30 minutes to call their name. I said, well, they might not need the prayer, but I sure do need the practice. And I do. Verse 1, Mark chapter 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was a noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which had borne before. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There's never sweeter words ever you ever known when you know that you've been forgiven, God's forgiven you for Christ's sake. I've never got over it. And I tell you, hallelujah. And they got testifying, made me want to jump up and testify. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God today. I could go right now out the doors and say, I've been blessed, I've been strengthened, and I've been helped. And I want to thank you for the Sunday school lesson, the singing, for the choir, the special numbers that touched our heart. And we praise you because of your goodness. And I ask you, like the psalmist cried out in Psalms 12:1, help, Lord, because without you I know I can do nothing, and I ask for help. The lost person here today, may they be saved. Child of God's drifted away, may they be restored. And we'll give you thanks for that you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Three of the four Gospels, this scripture is mentioned. 59 years ago at Rome Baptist Church, about, if you travel by air, it'd be about a mile from where I live. The Goba Road, it's about nearly 2 miles. But there's a man that was preaching a revival meeting. And my wife was saved before I was. She said, you promised me to go to that revival. And I said, I will. I'll go with you 3 nights. But if you ask me any more, I won't go a night. I was lost without God. So the first night, they called a ride with a neighbor, my wife and mother, and the two children, a girl, my daughter was just a baby at that time. And anyway, I pretended to be asleep, and they come back. I could have went, but I was too sorry to. You got excuses, you know, that you make up. And especially, you can find them all if you're lost without God when it comes to go to the house of God. course, after you say, and I used to say, I've kind of quit saying it, that these people are the same church members that drop out and drift off or something. You ask them, why are you been? Why ain't you been to the house of God? And they'll come up with some excuse. And I said, most of the time, that is a skin of a reason wrapped in a lie, so I kind of quit saying that as much. But you ought to be faithful. And so that night, but the next day, I was praying, even a sinner would pray. I prayed that a spring would break. I had a truck, two of them, and one of my nephew worked. We hauled milk from a farmer there to the Carnation Company in Galax, Virginia. Everything went fine. I was loaded heavy. And so, boy, I said, well, I promised to go with you. I'll go tonight. And because of Will might go, really, I was wanting to go. I went that night, and he preached to the church. Some of them that I hauled their milk didn't act too Christ-like. And I thought, boy, that is good for them, but it got to me as well. The Word of God will get to you. And then I decided I'd go the next night, and I did. And that preacher, man, he poured it on. He preached on hell. And I got wrong. I got upset. I got angry. I found my temper. I was sitting about six seats back with my wife. There's a man my brother won to the Lord. He still showed the effects of drinking. He's a drunk. That's what the Bible calls him. And I know the modern day time they call them alcoholics. But anyway, he had his hankers out. He was sitting on the edge of the seat. Boy, when this preacher said, thank God, because of the mercy of God, I don't have to go to hell. He said, bless him, Lord. And man, I got angry. I said, Lord, there's nothing fair about this thing. I said, here's a man. I said, his wife had to hire herself out as a field hand to get gross some meal on a food on the table. He drinks. He works a stock sale, raised you like Walker Foxhounds. And that's all he does. And I said, my wife hadn't do that. He's going to heaven. I'm going to hell. There's nothing fair about it. I got an argument with the Lord. But it didn't do any good. The Lord wins out every time. So the next night, well, it kind of, he preached, my spirit will not always drive man. I knew then, I remember that because I was under conviction. I don't remember where I knew. I know where it's at now. But anyway, I didn't know then. Seemed like it won the conviction. But that next night, he read from Luke chapter 5 on this same scripture and used a text. Strange, we've seen strange things happen today. And that Thursday night, thank God that something happened to me I never have got over. It is strange. Brother R.A. White, I remember introducing the message. I remember this much of it. I saw his picture and I come in the back here. I remember him saying, it's strange how that two sinners can be sitting on the same seat and God will speak to one of them's heart and they'll be saved. Another one it'll have no effect on. And then the thing that really shook me up, because I'd prayed that day, I mean because of that hellfire sermon right on old 58, and I went through there this past week, going there, had to go to Galax, and I looked over there where that I got a running start with that truck, speeded up to go as far as I could, loaded heavy, and then the gear down. There's about 16 or 17 miles an hour. He got to preaching on hell, and that fella got to say it. And when he said, because of the mercy of God, I don't have to go to hell, that man hollered, bless him, Lord. I mean, it come back just as plain through the transmission of that truck, plainer than I'm speaking now. And I pulled out the top of the entrance of the Midway Drive-In Theater, said, Lord, I don't know anything about this, but if you'll let me live to get back tonight, I'll go up. And I want to tell you, when he said, it's strange that God will permit one to live and one to die, about over there when Peter was in prison and James had put to death, I thought to myself, Lord, is he going to stop so I can go up? I promised I got to have relief somehow, and it took more than a roll aid, amen. But when I stepped out that night, That's something the Blue Ridge Mountains rolled off of my back. Mercy and truth met together. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. And they've been a hugging and a kissing ever since. And I've been enjoying the trip of the journey. Hear it, noise. Jesus entered into Capernaum again. And he went in the house as though he didn't want. He had been on a preaching tour according to Mark chapter 1 in different places. He entered in the house. And then it said after some days, so I knew it had to be 2 days or over, he had been in the house and not been out. And all of a sudden, you can't stay in the house with the Lord and a father's house when he visits in a special way. It's hard to stay in it. You almost get something running on your feet like he said he did the first time at the camp meeting. But anyway, all of a sudden they came out. And they said this word, after some days it was noise that he was in the house. And that's what I want to speak to you. When Jesus is in the house, there's something that will take place out of the ordinary. How do you think, if you use your imagination, there in the house, and I believe it was Simon Peter, but anyway, you say it doesn't matter. No, it don't matter, but he is in the house. And he went in Simon Peter's house in chapter 1, and what did he do? Simon Peter's wife, mother, why she is sick of a fever. They told him, he went over there, spoke to her. When you got a fever, that makes you weak. But when Jesus does a job, he makes you strong. He just raised her up. She started fixing a meal for him and minister. After some days, think about it. There when that they asked him question. You say they did. I don't think they were silent. I believe he told them things. I believe when that whoever come out of the house and was knowing that Jesus is in the house, their cup was running over. They had all they could stand. They had to say, Jesus is in the house. And when he meets with us in a special way, and you go out of here, folks talk about it everywhere you go. I had an old saint of God that was saved under Mordecai Ham. Her name was Violet Vance over at Bristol. And she got saved at 11 o'clock meeting down at the factory where she worked. The man clothes where they made these Pointer brand overalls and jeans and denim shirt. And her mother took her to hear Mordecai Ham. They had a tabernacle there in Bristol. Billy's son did preach it. Out there at a tabernacle. Also, he used State Street as an illustration in one of his sermons about a sinner could pass from one state to another and the law couldn't reach him. He'd run across the street and wave at the police officer. He said, that's what you do when you get to Jesus. You get on the right side of the street, Billy Sunday said, and you'll be all right. Come to him. And so, then Uncle Buddy Robertson, I had an old saint of God that liked 2 days living to 99. Her voice was just as clear. She sung till she was about 97 in the choir. She said, it's time I got out of the choir. My voice got to break it. And she, Uncle Buddy Robertson, had preached there, that cowboy preacher. And she told me this incident. A young couple was engaged, wanted Uncle Buddy to marry him there at the tabernacle that he had. And said after the morning service they went out, he is sitting there, said, Uncle Buddy, we want you to marry. Said he looked at that girl, said, little lass, are you one of God's little lambs? She said, yes, I am. He said, young man, are you one of God's little lambs? He said, no, but I intend to. He said, I won't marry you. They said, why won't you marry us? That I'm not about to yoke up a devil's billy goat, one of God's lambs. I mean, he is pretty plain spoken, amen. But anyway, he got saved, and she said they married him, and he went on faithful for God. Listen, you know what? They closed the plant. The man that owned it got Mordecai Ham down there, and Sister Violet Vance was 18, or between 18 and 19, and they climbed up on a big roll of denim trying to hide. I mean, they told them all, shut the factory down. And when the boss man said, Dan, they want to violate your religious rights. But when he said, come, you come. I mean, they didn't have any choice. He is a paying them. And he said, come in here. And said, Dr. Ham preached. And said, I was under conviction before I realized that I come down off of that roll of denim and run up there and said, I got saved. And she started shouting. Said, Dr. Ham knew how to get you to God. One Sunday morning, I was a preaching mean that some of my folk had looked cross-eyed at one another and had some words, and I'd heard about it. And so I was a pouring it on that morning. And she said, you know, you say, why? You do that. Better place to get it in the pulpit, right? And have to talk to them one-on-one. Amen. And so, anyway, she raised up and said, all the preachers used to preach like that. Thank God for my pastor. Well, that encouraged me a little bit. And then, boy, she jumped up in a minute and said, I like to be in the Father's house when the Father's at home. I said, amen. And she raised up again in a minute and said, I say, amen, glory to God, hallelujah, and all them good things. And went to shouting. You say, what'd you do? I just kept a preaching, amen. When Jesus is in the house, she said, I like to be in the Father's house when the Father's at home and he's here this morning. It is noise that Jesus was in the house. You say, what happened? First of all, his presence was manifested. They didn't know he was in the house, but some folks run out and said, the Lord's in the house. He's there. Man, when it did, they got to bring in a crowd. They wasn't excited. They wasn't following the ice wagon. They was on fire for God. There's something that in the way that they spoke that attracted them like a magnet. And Jesus said in John 12, and if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. Listen, when they said that, it drew the crowd. And there wasn't even some room about them. His presence was manifested. He was out there. They reported some things that had been going on in the house. And others, whatever they said, he had been in the house for some day. I'd imagine what if he prayed the day before they had a meal that he is the one that done the praying. I imagine they asked him. I imagine he just voluntarily told them things that they wanted to know about the things of God. And praise God, if anybody knew about it, he did. And so they couldn't take anymore. After a while, you get all you can stand in this here human body, and you get inward unexplainable, and you can't explain it, and sometimes it has to come loose with a hallelujah. I've seen them break out running. I'm like you. I never run but one time. But man, I tell you, right now, I went out there so singing over from at my church at a jubilee, and they got to singing Worth is a Lamb, the first time I ever heard that. And this Good Neighbor Quartet, and they're Free Will Baptist, but man, they love God. They might have thought you could fall from grace. I don't know about that, but they had God on them. It didn't matter. And so they're singing that. First thing I know, I got all I could stand. I felt like Job's youngest friend, a wine kegged out of van, and somebody's going to have to explode. I went out the side door, Brother Scott, run up and down the parking lot shouting a little bit. And some of them, about that time as I started back in, a preacher from West Virginia, he said, I can't stand no more either, Brother Rayton. He just took over where I left off at. And I'm going to tell you, when his presence is manifested, there's something going to happen. Right then and there, brother, it drawed people. There's folks just keep on coming there to the altar, going and praising God up and down. We had chairs. They couldn't run too much in the church running out. But I want to tell you now, his presence will be manifested. They'll tell about it when he meets with you. And God may visit you with a special visitation from heaven. I know he's omnipresent, but you know what I know. There's some time that he just comes down. And brother, he meets in such a way, you get amazed. You go to wondering what's going to happen next. You look at things. Well, I tell you now, you just can't figure it out. I don't try to. I see it after it happened. But boy, I tell you, I like to be there when it happens, don't you? And Jesus was in the house. I had a little, I wasn't this man to God, assistant manager of Giant Number 6. They had a lot of supermarket. They didn't open on Sunday. They were Catholics. And one man that was manager, a member of church, and I kept after the assistant manager, the produce manager, Both of them got saved, and both of them started preaching, and both of them went to heaven. They beat me to heaven. But anyway, when Brother Coy got saved, tall, lanky fella, he was tall, or maybe Brother Scott, and he got his little old wife, she had been saved, and she took her daughter, and she won every kind of whole room full of trophies out there marching and a baton, and she was the best of it everywhere. That mother put that first, got out of church. And when her husband got saved, she come and there's over there at the altar, my wife, the deacon's wife, praying with her. And they wasn't getting nowhere. And they said, Rayton, come here a minute. I went over there and her name was Edna. I said, what is it, Edna, little petite bod? And she said, preacher, I know I saved at one time. I know, but I got away from God. And I wonder, will God forgive me? I said, sure, he'll forgive you. And so she said, but I've asked him. And said, I don't feel forgiven. I said, I want to tell you, I give up a 1 John 1 again? She said, yes, I've done that, but preacher, I failed. And Coy said, it's just such a different life since he's got saved. Well, it does. You get a new husband or a new wife, don't you? Or a new kid, if they get saved. And so I asked her, I said, Edna, have you forgiven yourself? I said, you haven't forgiven yourself. I said, you can't go back and undo that. You can just tell them I'm sorry. But I said, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. So take his word. That dawned on her. Boy, the light broke through. And she is quiet. I mean, tell you, I didn't think about somebody like her. She exploded like one of them sticks of dynamite instead of a big firecracker. She raised both hands up and started shouting and a cry and said, I see it, I see it, I see it, I'm forgiven, thank God. Only problem was she thought every time somebody come and I could solve the problem and help them, that she got that for a while. But I want to tell you now, when Jesus is in the house, his presence will be manifested. It'll come out. Oh, me, when you can't get down. I remember one morning they started singing. We'd had to enlarge a choir, and we were broadcast live over WOPI, the more radio station that made Tennessee Ernie Ford start out and go on his way to fame. And so, you know something, we broadcast live except when the racetrack was going on. Then they had the priority we couldn't get. But there was so much time. But we was on FM. And that morning, the choir director said, Brother Ray, you know what you're going to preach? I said, I'm going to preach on the place called Calvary. God laid on my heart. We was in a spirit revival. And I sitting on the front seat after I'd made the announcement. Well, I hadn't made them. And he got up and said, now, before that I even got, he said, now the radio program and the choir would sing. And boy, he started singing Visions of Calvary. Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I jumped up and I went to him while his choir still singing. He taught singing school. And I said, Brother Junior, I said, you sang that song, did I tell you to stop? He said, well, on the radio, preacher. I said, I don't care where we at. I started giving the invitation. About that time, a man jumped up and down there and said, God's called me to preach. I've been fighting it. And I started giving the invitation. Boy, the devil first seemed like just throwed up a roadblock. And I knew the Spirit of God, brother, led me. I prayed, Lord, help. I said, sing that again, a verse of it. He started out again. And when he did, boy, they started coming in. We had 5 or 6 saved. And I mean to tell you, the Spirit of God began to move. I mean, Jesus, it is noised. He is in the house. One person told me, and I saw the next day, said, sounded like y'all had a direct line to heaven, and there wasn't no interference. I said, there sure wasn't. I mean, that's someone listening going home at the radio broadcast. And so I got home, my wife was fixing, I was listening. They started at 12. They taped the first 30 minutes of it, and they played that, and then they had another 30 for the minutes. We was on an hour, and sometimes go over if it really went over. But anyway, my wife, she was there at the phone, and I was sitting at the table listening. I wanted to find out what had been going on around there. They're shouting, people getting saved. You say, well, you just don't. I wanted to replay on it. And so, you say, what? Boy, I was a weeping. I said, thank God they had sung Visions of Calvary. I could almost see the pain that he bore, and them sinners had come. Man alive, I tell you, I'd get you. If that won't stir you, nothing won't stir you. And this person, my wife said, yes, he's right here. And she brought that long cord there she had in the kitchen so she could cook and talk. When somebody called over there to me and he said, is this Preacher Puckett? I said, yeah. He said, I'm down from Hampton, Tennessee. That's next to Johnson City and Elizabethton. And he said, I tell you, preacher, I got right with God, though, this morning. He said, said, I had one lung problem. And said, I'm on oxygen most of the time. My wife is saved. My daughters is saved. I wouldn't go to church. I'd try to hinder them. But I'd listen to you on FM. And said, this morning, said, y'all got the saying of that? And you kept saying, don't you turn that radio off? I said, don't remember saying that. He said, well, you did. And said, don't you go. I tried to. And said, I run in the other room to get away from myself. Took a pill and put on each side of my head. I still heard you. And you said, why don't you come to Jesus right now? And said, I broke down. Said, I can't stand it no longer. I'm going to hell, Lord. He says, God will save me. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it went out over their way too. And that was 30-some mile away. You say, what happened then? Jesus is in the house and it's broadcast live and it's going on. And hallelujah. You say, that man, I mean his testimony. He said, I'm going to come to your church. I said, it's too far for you to come every week. But I got some friends down there that have preached. But I wish you'd come and tell them. Well, one Sunday morning, I saw a man coming in rolling one of those big oxygen tanks. I got down when this singing went back there. They'd started the first song. And he said, are you Preacher Puckett? And I spoke, said, I know that voice. I said, yes. He said, I tell you, I'm what it called you. I went that church, you said, we're happy, but we want to come. This is my wife. Man, she looked happy. I mean, them kids, them teenage girls looked happy. When the dad's meaner than the devil out there and sin, it'll make all the situation change around. When Jesus gets in the house, his presence will be manifested. You say, what are doing? Well, it said, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there's no room to receive them. In verse 2, no, not so much as about the door. And the Bible said what he done, he preached the word unto them. There's nothing takes a place of preaching and teaching of God's word. Amen. That's why it's charged every preacher in 2 Timothy 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine for people to follow the truth of God's word of what they heard. You got to repeat over and over. When I was in Bible college, a man said, you learn by repetition. And he did. You say, yes, over and over, we heard 30 years old God our Father's told you. You tell him long enough, he'll get it. That's why you need to keep telling it. He preached the word unto him. Right then. And I tell you, when he preached, there's nobody ever spoke like him. They went to arrest him once and come back without him. They said, why didn't you bring him? They said, never a man spake like this. And brother, when he is preaching still inside the house, that crowd all the way around the door. So then faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. How can you hear without a preacher? He preached the word unto them. It was mighty preaching. It is compassionate preaching. Jesus saw in Matthew chapter 9 the multitude, the sheep having no shepherd, he is moved with compassion on them. I tell you, he preached with compassion. He preached also, brother, not only that, with condemnation to them hypocrites that are pretending to be something they wasn't. He had compassionate preaching. You say, what? And he had to reach out of that compassion to those that were in distress, infirmities. Not only that, it's compelling preaching. Whatever it did, it had results. Not only compassion, but compelling preaching. You say, what it did? It constrained them. A love of Christ constrained them. And then if something happened, That next verse, it looked at it, that "and's" a conjunction. The last time I went to school, verse 3, it said, "And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore." Now, they heard the preaching. They left the service. They knew somebody that needed help. They heard the Lord. I don't know which one started. It might have been all at one time. Of course, in the meeting where Jesus sat like that, very well could have happened. But it's usually one person, then they'll join in. They said, "This man's lost. He's bedfast. He's sick. Let's go get him. We know him." And they come. They couldn't get him in. Most of us say, "Well, we've done our best. We just can't do no more." Not them, man. They just got up the stairway outside, tore up the tile in the roof, broke it up. That meant a trip to the builder supply. When you break it, it's one thing to lift a part of it. When you break it, that means you got to repair it. And then I think one of them must have been a builder. You say, why? They figured where Jesus sat in the house, so they just stepped off, or either they could have had a tape and measured it off. And then, where they got there, they knew where to break it. They let them right down at Jesus' feet. They done all they could. And the Lord said, right there when he saw their fate, he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Oh man, that's presuming a miracle. If we can get him to Jesus, something happened to this man. Yeah. You say they took for granted. No, that word presume don't only mean take for granted. It means take it as true or supposing to be entitled a belief on probable evidence. They'd seen him work before, and they had a belief we can get him there.
Right. Right.
That's all they could do. But they got him there. And when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the man, we'd have a little more faith ourselves. We might see a little more happen. He saw their faith and he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Well, now that man knew he's forgiven of sins. He was sick and he is sinful. So the first thing, that most important thing matters, you can be sick in these old bodies. But if a sin question had, and the sin question settled, and you know it's well with your soul, you can say then to suffer this present time is not worth it compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. But anyway, he is sick, physically, and sinful. And when he said, "Thy sins be forgiven," I believe that man knew it happened.
Sure.
It just don't happen like that when the Lord says it, but what you don't know it. Something happened. Well, there's a bunch of charter members of the critic club sitting there that didn't know God. And they said, "Well, this man's cursing. He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God only?" Jesus knew what they're thinking. He knows what you're thinking right now. If your thoughts, some of you put up here, you'd probably make an exit for the door. You can't beat the Methodist or the cafeteria anyway. But anyway, you say, "What happened then?" Well, all of a sudden, Jesus knew it. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And this is the only place, Brother Scott Dowd and some others might, I can be corrected. You say, but this is the only time in this incident that I ever find the Lord Jesus Christ before a miracle, knowing what they is thinking. He said, "Whether it's easier to say to this man, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or 'To arise, take up thy bed and walk.'" And this is the only time it seems like it. He said, "You won't believe, I'll just show you." Rest of the time he done it and they saw it. But this time he told them before he did it. That's the only place I can find the scripture that he did that. It's mentioned in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, here, and Luke. Each time it says, "You may know." They reasoned in their hearts. They didn't talk out loud. He knows what they're thinking.
Yes.
You say, "What did he do?" He said, "Whether it's easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or 'To rise, take up thy bed and walk.'" He said, "That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin." And I like these where it says, "I say unto thee." I like him. When I run on one of them reading the gospel and he said, "I say unto them," I start to think about that a minute.
Yeah.
You say, "Why? This can't help me." When he says it, ever been to the Word of God so, but when he just said it personally, it just does something close.
Yeah.
I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and walk. He reached down and rolled up that stretcher, whatever they had. Four men brought him. Two might could have carried him, but it's easier four to get on the four corners of it. He just reached down that man that couldn't even walk. He might even told those four men that went to get him, I feel bad today. I'm having the worst day I've ever had. I don't want to go. And they didn't take no fun answer. They just picked him up and took him and said, we're taking you to Jesus. He just reached down then, picked it up, wanted to shake about him anywhere, strength come back. I mean, Jesus does something, he does it right.
Amen. Oh,
yeah. And all of a sudden, he just picked it up, go to your house, and here he headed for home. He come in sick, he come in sinful, he come in couldn't walk, he left out saved. He left out with the made whole and walking on his own and carrying the bed back. He didn't need nobody. He was carried to Jesus, but then he just took the stretcher and carried it back home. And the Bible said, immediately he arose, in verse 12, went forth before them all insomuch that they were all amazed. Even them skeptics thinking in their mind got amazed.
Yeah.
They had to. It said they was all amazed. I take it literally.
Right.
Insomuch they were all amazed. Now, I know this. When something amazes you, have something that's out of the ordinary, it takes a minute or so for me to collect my thoughts of what I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about that?
Yeah.
And they were amazed.
Right.
They said, well, what about that? And the next thing happened, it said they started to glorify God.
Right. Yes.
Amen. I tell you, when a wandering sheep comes back to give place to the devil, they ought to be glorying for it. When a sinner comes home, there's great rejoice. And they said, we never saw it on this fashion. I tell you, when he meets us with us in the house, I know he's on my prison. I've been going down the road sometimes and have to find out, pull over when I'm driving. I'd find a place pretty quick because I knew I needed it. And if I wanted a rest area, I'd find the next exit to pull over. I was coming back one night from Hillsboro, North Carolina. It's foggy. It was rainy. I'd been praying about something for about 4 or 5 months. It seemed like it couldn't. I said, Lord, change that situation. Do something. Seemed like the more I prayed, the harder. Boy, the devil moved in the car that night, and I put in a tape. It was one of them old big ones before they had cassette. You put in an 8-track. The Gethsemane Quartet, Darius and Penny on the bus coming back singing. Rest of them asleep. They'd been singing maybe down at Lester Roloff's. And all of a sudden, Darius got to thinking about someone who preached on communion with the Lord. And he got to humming, there's nothing like sweet communion with Jesus.
Yeah.
Penny come up. And when she did, they got and wrote that song, there's nothing like sweet communion to him. About that time that's come on, I got to feeling something. I mean, it got to bubbling. And I said, Lord, I prayed for this, and Victor over said, why are you praying, son, for something you already got? I said, give me a confirmation of the verse of Scripture. And in 1 Corinthians 15, I'd associate it with the resurrection. He said, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your neighbor's not in vain the Lord. I had to find me a place up there, Hall River, off Interstate 40, to pull over a truck stop. I got out, it's still mist and rain, foggy. I laid my head on that car. I wept, and then I let loose a hallelujah, and I heard somebody say, wonder what's the matter with that fella as I got back in. They didn't understand.
Yeah.
But I wonder what happened to these four fellas that brought him.
Well, listen.
That they were all amazed. I mean, they believed Jesus was right for what was wrong in his life. But they all glorified God. I imagine they looked at one another, and them four fellows probably have hugged one another, shook hands, praised God, we never saw it like this.
Right.
And then I ask you, what do you think his family thought when he came in carrying the bed when he'd been carried out? Children, wife, others, here he comes carrying the bed. Honey, what happened? He said, them fellas, I use my imagination sometimes. I didn't want to go with them fellas, but I sure am glad they took me anyway.
Amen.
Well, what happened? Well, they couldn't get me where Jesus sat. They tore up the roof. They let me right down in front of him. He looked down with a look like I've never seen. And he said, whoo, he said to me, thy sin be forgiven thee. And he said, honey, I can't explain it, but glory to God, I wish I could.
Amen.
Then what happened? Well, he said, evidently some of them was thinking, and he read your mind. They thinking he's blaspheming. And said, he said, but I want to tell you something. Which is easier to say of what he said to me that took a burden away and got me ready for heaven, your sins is forgiven. And then he said, you may know the Son of Man has power to forgive sin. He just looked down at me and said, I say unto you. And when he said that, I felt strength go to searching through this shaken body that had been weak. And all of a sudden, I felt whole. And he said, I say unto you, arise, take up your bed, walk. And there I was laying. I just got up, picked it up, and honey, here I am.
Yeah.
When Jesus is in the house, things happen. And if we'll do what he says, a whole lot of things happen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord. My heart's been blessed. You're here this morning. I felt your presence as soon as we got here in the Sunday school hour. Lord, the singing, every bit of it, I was conscious of that unseen yes and the person of the Holy Spirit of God that met with us. Lord, I pray right now as I get a number. Father, there may be someone here that's lost. They need to hear these words from Jesus. Thy sin be forgiven thee if this man heard. And Lord, you said in your word, John 6:37, all the Father giveth me will come to me. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out, no matter how far they've sucked down in sin, no matter how wicked they've been, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, will cleanse them from all sin. Then there may be some child of God. Brother Scott brought Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord's our strength. They've let something come between them and God. And Lord, that joy is not like it one time was. I pray that this will be the time, the place right now that they'll come back to you. Lord, right now, be restored. Give and say, Lord, I want my first love back. I ask it in Jesus' name while we stand right now. God speaking to your heart, if you're lost, will you come? God speaking to you as a Christian, will you come? Brother Scott, right here at the Word of God, others help you.